You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Washington to Hollywood and right back to Wisconsin, it's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Connecting the dots on the stories shaping our world with smart takes, sharp humor, and plenty of personality.
You know, I really expected more professional behavior from you.
It's news and culture without the noise.
Yeah, I'm on!
Here's Pete Schwabe
Dude.
And Greg Bach.
Dude!
Hey, hey, Wisconsin. Welcome to Nightlight, everybody. I am Pete Schwabe, sitting upstate from Greg Bach and Dom Lee. We will tell you where those guys are in just a moment, but we've got... Greg is adjusting his camera for those of you that are watching on the stream. You can't fix perfection, Greg. It was a great angle. We have an absolutely fantastic show for you guys tonight. Happy Monday, everybody. Wherever you're joining us from in the great state of Wisconsin, it is great to have you. And we hope to ease you into your evening. And if you're in the car right now, we hope to make that drive feel a little more relaxed. Right, Greg? Was that an accurate description of tonight's show?
Yes.
Perfect. That is Greg Bach, ladies and gentlemen. He is coming to you live from Radio Park in Racine. And Dom Lee working the board in Madison. Dom, do you miss me? I was there Thursday and Friday. It was great to hang in Madison with you a little bit. Is there the kind of depression that can only happen when like a Schwabe leaves the room?
Yeah. As soon as you left, I was like, okay. Oh man, my night was from an 8 from out of 10 to now a 5 out of 10. I was getting really sad. So
I'm feeling it too, buddy. It's not just Schwabe. It's Dom Lee. Yep. When there's no Dom Lee in the press.
Schwabe leaves a room. I'm going to remember that.
You'll know the feeling, Greg, when we get together and hang and do like a
fun thing. A Schwabe leave the room then. All right.
It's cool deal.
Awesome.
Hey, that was a dig.
More to talk to. I'm just writing things down. I'm just taking notes, buddy, for therapy later.
I love the secret
later.
Legal pad you pull out whenever you're shuffling through something. We get those sound effects.
It's old timey radio, like. Oh no, he's walking down the hallway.
Here he comes. Ka-thump, ka-thump. That was fun though last week, guys. It was two of us are together. I know we'll get together, the three of us, and do a show from Madison at some point. That'll be fun. Yeah. But Dom, you were headed to Chicago when I last talked to you, headed home for a big event. Tell us about this really cool thing you did on behalf of your papa.
Tell us about your event.
Well,
love to hear more.
What is okay, Greg? Oh, no. This is sarcastic.
Greg's coming at you. Guns a-blazing. What's going on here?
Well, okay,
guys?
I'll tell you a little bit about it. It was my dad's 50th birthday a week prior, and we threw him a surprise party, and it was great. It worked out well. I got the ice. I was in charge of ice, and that was it, just ice. it worked out really well. He had no idea, and it was really fun. It was a really fun time.
Two things. I love the fact that I am a mere less than 2 years younger than your father. That's interesting. But also, Dom, you had an interesting conversation with your mother about the show.
Oh, yes.
And about me.
Yes, yes. Oh, no. And if my mom is listening, I'm sorry, Mom, to out you.
Caroline.
Caroline. Yes. It turns out that she's not a big fan of Phil Collins, and obviously Greg is the number one fan of Phil Collins. And she was just like, "Yeah, I don't know about his favorite, you know, artists." And I was like, "Oh, okay, all right. I'm not gonna tell him." And then about an hour ago,
and
I
then
told
you told
Greg,
me.
Yeah, so
where is Greg's number? Yes.
I mean, it's like it just feels hurtful.
I know.
You know, yeah. I thought there was a rapport here, and I guess I was wrong.
I've got a couple thoughts now. I think, is that, Dom, is that your mom's way of, like, it's just, first of all, Greg, you might be overreacting. A lot of people say that they don't like Springsteen, and that's my guy. And I'm like, all right, whatever. You're taking this very personally, which is kind of sweet,
Dom's
actually.
Mom. Yeah. I think it's because it's Dom. Okay. It's the Dom mom. It's the Dom mom who, like, I felt like was with us, and then all of a sudden she's like, I don't understand Greg's choices.
Okay. We're going to see on the text line her saying sorry in a bit. So.
The other thing is, Dom, I don't know where that puts you in the pecking order of responsibility for family obligations, but you were in charge of ICE? That's like the
Oh, it was difficult. There was so many people, so I had to get more ice. I had to go back to 7-Eleven. It was a really big task, and I was very proud of myself.
Drive a car?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I had to go pick up a bunch of frozen water. Oh, my goodness gracious. What am I ever to do? Yeah.
Oh, man. You're not making the lasagna. They're making you go get the ice.
Yes. Yeah. What are you in charge of? The napkins. Oh, my gosh. Our good friend Todd on the live stream says his dad is only 50. OMG, do I feel old. Yep, that's how I feel too right now.
I'm a youngin'. Yep.
I'm even older than that. So look, age is a state of mind, and it's your actual chronological life. So it's pretty depressing. However, Dom, was it a fun
that was
party?
Not like, helpful, Pete, at all.
Wow. I started to try to make us feel better, and then I just bailed. It is what it is, but was your dad surprised?
He was very surprised. He actually umpires, so he was gone for like 2 hours, and it was a perfect opportunity. We got everyone there, and people came on time, and it was just perfect. He walked in,
that's
and he
great.
Was just... He was really happy about it, so it was good. It was nice
were
to see my dad.
Were the baseball metaphors a flying?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, that's exactly what it
was. I want to make so many baseball jokes right now, but I know that would be kind of lame. So
was the party a home run?
The party was a home run. Wow, okay.
Did your dad arrive safe at home, or was he just a bit outside?
Oh, God.
All right, you know what, Tom? That's you about enough. That. I can't. All right, that was deserved. You get one rim shot per show. Hey, we got a great show tonight, Greg. We've got a couple Civic Media All-Stars here tonight. We've got Mike Clemens is going to join us at 5:35. There is so much. I did not realize how much is going on in the world of Wisconsin sports until Mike reached out today. So we're going to talk a little bit about Chris McIntosh stepping down in Madison as the athletic director. The Brewers are on a skid, which I'm sure Greg is totally bummed out about, as are all Brewer fans. The Bucks let Doc Rivers go. And the Packers have a big event coming up, too. So we'll break all of that down with our Civic Media Sports Authority, Mike Clemens. And then in hour two, our pal Dan Schaefer will be here, the founder of the Recombobulation Area, award-winning Recombobulation Area, and my fellow Wire fan. You can get into that with him, Greg, if you like.
Well, I think we're going to be talking more about the Bucks. We'll be talking more about the Bucks today with Dan, too, because he is a huge Bucks fan. And we've had conversations about this man, Doc Rivers, who will soon be the former coach of the Bucks. I'd love to hear Dan's take on that. In the second hour as well, guess what, everybody? It's time for yet another text-to-win contest for the Milwaukee Film Festival. In the second hour, we'll be once again doing the Win Your Way into the 2026 Milwaukee Film Festival. It's a text to win contest this week. It's only 3 days this week, but the Milwaukee Film Festival kicks off on Thursday, and there are so many great films, and this is your opportunity to win an all-access pass. One all-access pass will be given out this week. There will be a keyword in the second hour. You will have the opportunity to enter to win that all access pass. So stick around. And also, really quick here, Brett on the text line says, "Hey guys, I won the film festival tickets. Thanks, I appreciate it." He's actually sending us some behind the scenes stuff here. But Brett did win.
Sweet.
Brett from Brown Deer did win the tickets. He's listening to us on WAUK. We'll get in touch with you, Brett, and let you know more about that. Get that straightened away so you can get your tickets. But congratulations to Brett, and possibly congratulations to you if you text to win in the second hour with the keyword for the Win Your Way into the Milwaukee Film Festival contest. Good luck ahead of time.
Yeah, that is a like $600+ value.
That's
a 2-week festival, and they've got and check in here all week, folks. We've got a couple guests on that are going to discuss the festival this week, including Susan Kearns tomorrow. And we'll be talking about it all week. So it's a 2-week festival. Outstanding. I just came from the Wisconsin Film Festival and had an absolute blast. I want to say I'm festivaled out, but I'm not. Like, you look at the Milwaukee offerings and they're just incredible. So that's going to be fun talking about that all week too. And definitely listen in hour number two for those, for the keyword, Greg.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It'll be a keyword. It'll be a keyword, and it's only 3-day contest. So today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, because the film festival starts on Thursday.
All right. I think without further ado, Mr. Dom Lee, we should get to our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay. Question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay. I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
It is national, folks. National Scrabble Day, which begs the question, Greg, it was between what is your favorite Scrabble word or what is your favorite board game? I went, what is your favorite board game? But you're welcome to share fun Scrabble words you've come up with too over the years, folks. But that is our question of the night. What is your favorite board game? There are so many that can induce arguments between family, which is always fun. And some that are just a rip-roaring good time, Yahtzee. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know, or you can text us or drop us a stream comment if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or X Twitter. So there you go.
There you go. All right. We are. I feel like we've gotten all of the stuff the taken care of. All the business. We should get to the news, the top three stories of the day.
The first big story.
So if you don't already know, the president of the United States decided to post a very interesting picture of himself on his Truth Social social media platform of social mediaing. it was a picture of him. I mean, I don't know how he thought otherwise, but it's a picture of him basically looking like Jesus Christ healing someone who is sick in bed. And people were unhappy, and it's not the people you think it was. It was actually a lot of conservatives, Catholics, Christians, Trump supporters, unhappy about this post. And I don't know, Pete, what version of this picture do you think he looked at where he said, well, it's me being a doctor, like with the Red Cross, right? That's what I thought it was.
So for me, Greg, here's the thing. I think a doctor is more likely to have a comb over than Jesus, but that's ridiculous. What irritates me is what I find so shocking is that this is what put many conservatives over the top. He's been blasphemous since he's been in office, even the first time with the Bible and the this and the what now? It's got to be all this other fatigue that they finally have a reason to say, okay, this is too far.
He posted a picture of himself last year dressed as the Pope, like an AI image. And for those who haven't seen it, the AP does a great job of describing it. It says the image posted by the president Sunday night, this was last night, showed Trump wearing a biblical style robe and laying hands on a bedridden man as light emanates from his fingers, in both hands, by the way, while a soldier, a nurse, praying woman, and a bearded man in a baseball cap all look on admiringly. We're not done yet. The sky above is filled with eagles, an American flag, and vaporous images. Yet he thought it was a picture of him working for the Red Cross.
But he didn't.
No, he's of course he didn't. No, he's a liar.
And this is right.
Because he's
and
a
you're
liar.
Saying, this guy, he's got conviction and all this. If he really did, he should say, yes, I feel like I'm very much like Jesus. If you have stones, that's what you say. You don't pull it and say, I meant to be a doctor. No doctor I've ever seen wears flowing robes. And it's just insanity. And I think people are finally, even the diehard MAGAs, I think, are over
They are very, very upset about this. And I mean, like in a Washington Post article that we will also put in the show notes, Megan Basham was upset. She is a prominent conservative Protestant Christian writer and commentator. And then there was another gentleman, Michael Brown as well. He's a Catholic conservative commentator, also very upset about this. And he decided to sling rocks at the Pope too about this. And we can maybe get to it on the other side of the break, but he got into a little mini fight with the Pope, and the Pope basically says, I'm not afraid of the Trump administration. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing.
Well, that's something new.
Yeah.
Thank goodness
I love that.
Yeah, we'll break all of that down coming up next, folks. Don't go anywhere. It's a very short break. Pete and Greg are here. We are not Jesus. We are not even close. We're just a couple guys talking about three big things.
I have a mustache. That's it.
There's more coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwab and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab and Greg Bach coming to you on the Civic Media Network. Great to have you with us on this Monday. Mike Clemens is coming up after the news, sports, and weather. He's going to break down all of the stuff that is happening here with our Wisconsin sports teams. But right now, Greg and I are breaking down some news stories. Just when you think things can't get more preposterous,
Yeah,
they do. And it's so let's just jump back in. We were on story number one. I think we had to put a button on that, Greg, before we moved on. And we were talking about the Pope and the the president calling the Pope weak on crime.
Yes, he did say that. In fact, the Pope isn't happy about the president's direction on Iran. He feels that what the president's doing is not, it's not Christian. It's not based in the gospel. It's not peace and love and things of that nature.
That's fair.
President Trump had thoughts on that. He said something to the effect of, yes, he is weak on crime. That's what the president said about the Pope.
He's also, the Pope has not put forth one infrastructure bill either, which I
no, totally I'm really disappointed in this. You know, where is he on pork barrel spending? I really would love to know. It was a Sunday full of postings for the president, but he said, quote, "I don't want a Pope who I don't want a Pope who criticizes the president of the United States because I'm doing exactly what I was elected, all caps, in a landslide to do," unquote. He then went on to say that the only reason why Leo was elected pontiff was, quote, "because he was an American and they thought that he would be the best way to deal with President Donald J. Trump." And that's not the end of it, but that's where I have to end it because I'll tell you that, quote, "I don't think he's doing a very good job. He likes crime, I guess. He's a very liberal person."
You know, this is actually, I have one more thing to add too. This is brilliant branding that what the Pope is doing for the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. He's showing leadership, whether you agree with Catholics or not, or the Pope or not. The church is not as progressive as I am, but this mm-hmm. Pope is a step in the right direction, I believe. And the fact that he's standing up to war is exactly what you think someone who follows the Prince of Peace should do. So yeah. I think it's something that could galvanize Catholics and give them a sense of purpose again, rather than just being, well, not told who to vote for in every case, but being led a certain way. This is just, the Pope is against the war, basically. And yeah. I find no problem with that. He should be. It's not weak on crime.
The Pope is weak on crime.
He's weak on war crimes.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's really fun. And I go back to the point that the Pope made. He says, "I'm not afraid of the Trump administration." And I really appreciate it, because those are important words to say out loud, regardless. You know, there are a lot of conversations you can have about the Pope, the role of Pope, the Catholic Church. You know, but someone like that who outwardly criticizes the president and says, "I'm not afraid of you," I think we need more of that. And hopefully there are more people out there who get the guts to do so. But it's there you go.
Wish he wasn't so weak on crime. All right. Number two, Mr. Domley.
The second big story.
Greg, are you a gambler?
No.
I'm not either, but... Maybe we should be.
It depends on where I'm eating a buffet. Sometimes that's a gamble. Like that's a gamble, but I can't really go to like Poly Market or I'm not a gambling person. I love my money and I love my money staying in my pocket. I don't have a lot of it, so I don't know why I would willfully just say, "Hey, computer, here's some of my money. You keep it." But right. In Wisconsin, it's become a thing now because Governor Evers signs Wisconsin online sports betting into law. Woo! This is what we needed, folks, not education or childcare. We needed online gambling!
Yeah, I don't... it's Assembly Bill 601, and it allocates the gambling options to all the tribes in Wisconsin equally, I guess. There is some money put aside for gambling addiction, which I didn't know this. And I don't mean to focus on this because I know a lot of my friends like to gamble. I don't. I don't think I'd be very good at it, and I don't have the money to do it. But the Wisconsin Council on Problem Gambling estimates that between 300,000 and 350,000 people in the state have a gambling problem. Yeah. That's a substantial amount of our population.
And it's become even easier now when you put that ability on your phone.
Right.
You put it on your phone. I was joking about before, you've got DraftKings, you've got FanDuel, you've got Kelsey, you've got Poly Market, you've got OTC betting, you've got You've got tribal casinos. They're trying to build another one in Kenosha right now, a Hard Rock, which the mayor of Milwaukee is against because, you know, Potawatomi said, hey, be against this or you don't get more, our money. And he's like, okay. But I, you know, it says here in the story on 27WKOW.com, it says the bill had bipartisan support and the support of a federally recognized tribes of Wisconsin. The tribe sent the governor a letter on Wednesday encouraging him to sign this into law. Supporters say it will establish necessary regulations to protect people. Okay. But as you, as we mentioned, FanDuel and DraftKings were against this. Yeah. They did not like this. They did not like this probably because now there's other places people can bet. So.
Follow the money, baby. Let's try to squeeze in our third big story because we got to go to a break soon.
Yeah.
The third big story.
Greg, I love this. Alan Richson makes the news for all the right reasons. He's on a couple hit shows. He's been in great movies. He kicked his neighbor's butt who was threatening him a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And now he is part of a new Netflix show that's going to lead a survivalist group. It's a competition reality show. And when I was reading about that, it said that the last time he was on a reality show was American Idol, where he sang Paula Abdul as a much thinner man. Please elaborate.
It's a very weird video. He's a very silly, weird boy, even though he's like bigger than me in all ways, shapes, and forms. And if you watch the video, go look it up. Alan Richson, American Idol. It's hilarious. And he sings directly to Paul Abdul. So
you are the sunshine of my life on his knees. Yes. It's beautiful. Give it a Google, folks. We're coming right back after the news with Mr. Mike Clemens. This is Pete and Greg on Civic Media. Love that song. Hey, welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. I am Pete Schwabe, sitting upstate from Greg Bach, who is coming to you from, I don't know what to do with that wave that Greg is doing right now, and Dom Lee, who is in Madison. We are the Yotter Hay Triangle here. And talking about
finally back.
Yeah, talking about all things current events this hour. And now we're going to shift to some sports because we have one of our good pals here today. He is covers civic media. He covers sports for civic media like a maniac. He is our civic media sports authority and our pal, Mr. Mike Clemens. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hi, Pete. Hi, Greg. How are you guys?
Doing well. How are you today, sir?
Better now.
Keep it busy.
Of course.
Busy 24 hours.
Well, it's always busy for you. You're always traveling all over the country. You're everywhere, all the places, all at once, all the ways.
Yeah, chasing the teams. We had that little blizzard come through about a month ago that kind of screwed things up a little bit. But other than that, we were watching for this to happen, that Doc Rivers would be stepping down as the head coach of the Bucks after 2.5 years. I saw one headline said he was fired, and I said, I'm not sure that that's it. I mean, a month ago, Stephen A. Smith, the commentator on ESPN, said they had looked for Doc Rivers to step down and retire at the end of this losing season for the Bucks because a year of reports and drama about, is Giannis want out? Is he going to be traded? Does he want to go to the Knicks? Or all those kinds of things, the injuries that they've had. Going back to the Damian Lillard, torn Achilles and everything. And then, we started watching these games, and like in the last month, you would watch like the fourth quarter of a game, whether on the road or here at home. And one day one of the beat guys said, hey, when you guys huddle in the fourth quarter, it looks like your assistant, Darvin Ham, is kind of out there running the plays. He goes, yeah, because you know why? He's an NBA head coach, and I want the world to see that. We played that clip, in our sports updates. Yeah, so he's basically saying, I'd like to see this guy, considered for my job or somewhere else, back in the NBA to get back to a head coaching job. He'd been with the Lakers. And then just a couple weeks ago, we have these pregame press conferences with Doc and just kind of chit and chat back and forth. And he'd been inducted now into he's got plans this summer in August. He's going to be inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame there in Springfield, Mass. Wow. And he said, I got grandkids now. I'm like 7, 8 years old, and I'm missing, Grandpa Day and stuff like that, and I'm kind of looking forward to that. So he's telling us. So does that sound to you like he was fired? Because I talked to him Friday night, last home game of the year. First quarter was unbelievable. I mean, they put up 38 points. And in the last 10 games or so, they've been, you know, they've emptied the bench. They're trying to assess this roster.
Mm-hmm.
Guys don't get much playing time. How they're clicked. They've got this Cormac Ryan. Kid hit, you know, 18 points in the first quarter. Three-point shot was gone. And they were playing the kind of offense that Doc Rivers has been trying to get this team to play really all year, because he even said on record, look, at the start of the season, John Horst, the GM, and I knew that this wasn't that deep of a roster after losing Damian Lillard and the other things. They thought that Kevin Porter Jr. could replace that role as a shooter next to Giannis. He's been out the last month with a swollen knee that had to be scoped about a week ago, so he's been shut down. So they were, in terms of the injuries, they had so many more obstacles again in the whole time that, you know, Doc has been the head coach there. And so I talked to him about this first period, and he, all of a sudden, he just went into this speech. Listen to this. You'll hear me ask him about how they scored 38 points in the first quarter against the Nets in their win Friday night.
I mean, it sounds like a guy who is on his way out. It sounds like a guy who is, like, checked out. And, I mean, a fiery Doc Rivers. Mike, I've been listening to his post-game conferences for a while now, and he never seemed fiery at all. In fact, there were times where I said to people, like, it doesn't even sound like he cares whether they win or lose. Like, when they lost, they're like, yeah, I lost, so what? Like, they're just – I never felt personally like there was a ton of passion behind Doc Rivers. And I may be wrong. I'm not the world's biggest basketball fan. But it just felt like, you know, this was another stop for him, and now he's done and he's going to go play with his grandkids, which is great. But I never took him as fiery.
Yeah, now maybe he just wanted to overcompensate for that, you know, in certain interviews one-on-one. But I mean, he came over and shook my hand. You know, mm-hmm. You've been around a while, right? Yeah, you know. I mean, here's a guy who came in and thought, wouldn't it be great if I could finish my career? Because he was actually a consultant for the team before they hired him to bring him in. He'd also been, you know, on ESPN too as an analyst as well. So with this Giannis stuff going on and off and on and off, and even the player Bobby Portis saying about a month ago, I believe on a podcast, so not officially at his locker, saying, you know, this Giannis stuff is really starting to wear on all of us. And and then it goes to the next level, Greg, in terms of, you know, somewhere they came back from a road trip, 3 or 4 game road trip, and I'm down there, and all of a sudden the staff, like the people I deal with every day, PR, some front office, they kind of walked around like zombies. How are you, Mike? who are you people? And I realized,
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
I realized, see, Peter Fagan, the president of the last 12 years, he's gone. And you say, hey, what about Brian, the new guy? I haven't met him yet. You know, okay. I mean, so there could be major regime change going on. Maybe what if Wes Edens leaves and they hand it over to Jimmy Haslam? You know, and then he's already brought in a new president. I've actually heard some pretty good things about Jimmy, who, you know, is the guy that's messed up the Cleveland Browns and some of their trade moves over the years. Whatever the case, we're looking for is ownership going to change? And then after that, are they going to stick with John Horst as a GM? And then after that, you know, who are they going to hire as a coach? And then any decent candidate for a coach coming from the outside is like, well, what's your roster going to look like? Are you going to have Giannis or not? And which is also why the owners then told John Horst, you will sit this guy, okay? We don't want to see another blown Achilles. I don't care if he wants to play with his two brothers and if he's recovered from the hyperextended knee. That guy's a commodity now, and he's either going to re-sign and commit to stay here for another contract, or he's, you know, he's property, and we're going to get the most value for him when we trade him. But he's not going to go, you know, injured. So that's why they sat him, and that's where it's going to be a busy summer with the Bucks.
That's the voice of Mike Clemens. He's talking about Giannis there at the end. He is our Civic Media Sports Authority, joining us to talk about many Wisconsin sports stories. Just to put a button on this, Mike. That makes sense because I was like, they had a winning, I think they were like 48 and 34 or 32 last year or whatever. And then Giannis only played like 40 games this year. So you can't really put all of that on Doc Rivers. But I do agree with Greg. I never heard crazy passion in his voice since he's been here. So great reporting, my friend. That's really excellent.
And the number 36 out of 82 games, Giannis was there for 36 games this year. That's how bad it got. And, of course, the last couple, he wanted to play, but you know, they sat him down. They shut him down.
Yeah.
Was there
go ahead, Greg.
I was going to say, is there tension between Giannis and Doc Rivers? I mean, again, like now that he is apparently on his way out, people are revitalizing the question, okay, where is Giannis? Is he going to stay and maybe have a hand in like picking the new coach and telling what he wants in order to stay here to win, to possibly bring home another trophy? I mean, like it kind of leaves unfortunately, the Bucks are looking for another head coach, but also when it's sandwiched with, does Giannis stay? Do you think Doc Rivers leaving gives Giannis more more value as far as staying here? Now he can like maybe start anew, or just does he want to get out?
I think that Giannis would love to stay in Milwaukee if they had a roster that they thought they were working around him. They did not have that roster. Then on top of that, they had the injuries, and Giannis is like, this is wasting my time. But whoever's going to be the Giannis's new head coach has got a lot to handle there because Giannis is a 14-year-old kid who just wants to play every day, and that's part of his problem. He's 31, and he needs to act like a 31-year-old player and not play for the Greek nation last summer and then wonder why his Cavs wear out halfway through the season.
That's great. Mike, I know we have some other things we want to discuss. Maybe we've got to do a break in about 2.5 minutes. You want to give us an update on Chris McIntosh, another person who stepped down as the athletic director of UW, and then maybe we could do some Brewers talk after the break. But what's going on in Madison?
BadgersExtra.com breaking the story last night about 6 or 7 o'clock that the athletic director for the Wisconsin Badgers, all those sports programs, some over 20 programs, is leaving. And he's taking a job, a new job being created at the Big Ten conference. And so, you know, I'm texting one buddy that's a former player, part of the alum. He says, yeah, I'd heard something like this starting Friday. Wasn't sure, but how about that? And when you start to look at it today, it's like, all right, look, you know, he's made some good hires, like Mike Hastings, the head coach of the men's hockey team that got all the way to the finals of the Frozen Four. So that was the last 3 years. But, you know, the Luke Fickell story as a head football coach has been, you know, up and down. This NIL thing has been a whole new landscape, you know, in the last 5 years. And he's going off to the conference that doesn't have to worry about this stuff. At the same time, his boss, the chancellor, Jennifer Nukin, she's taken a job with Columbia University. I think they made that official today. And then the Board of Regents fired the president of all the universities, Jay Rothman. Do they know? I mean, in other words, Chris McIntosh is looking at it and says, I'm going to have a new chancellor and a new, you know, Board of Regents. You know, I'm out of here. I don't know who my next boss is. And it's just turbulent waters. I think that's what's going on in Madison.
That's crazy because, like, as an alumni and a player, it seems like that's the dream job. And what he's going to do for the conference seems so kind of vanilla. But I guess if you're a climber, maybe he has more opportunity there. But
and the decision makers are done. And I asked, well, is Barry Alvarez going to get involved? Like, no, you know, Barry's retired. He's in Florida. He's got tea times. He's got grandkids.
Yeah. All right, great stuff. Mike Clemens is here, folks, Civic Media Sports Authority, and our pal. And he, when we come back, I'm sure Greg is going to pepper him with questions. Get that baseball reference about your Milwaukee Brewers. We're coming right back on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach on the Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. All right, now you got me pumped up, Dom. Sitting in my car all day, little stones. Now I'm ready to go.
That's the goal.
I don't know what I was doing before, guys, but I'm with you now. All right, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach. We are talking to our pal Mike Clemens, who does an outstanding job covering sports, and he's been a busy guy this weekend. Mike, I think you need a couple of assistants with all these stories going on right now. Tell us what is going on with Greg's Milwaukee Brewers, a five-game skid. Not good.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And I mean, that, you know, there was a whole thing last year where the Brewers never lost more than three in a row. Now they've lost five in a row. And that's the first time that's happened with a franchise, I think, in 3 years. First time since they've lost a series, been swept by the Nationals since 2011. The Nationals came into town, and they were kind of playing some Brewer ball. You saw them very aggressive on the base running. A couple times, though, the guy would get like caught in a pickle and get thrown out because the Brewers' infield is so good. But, you know, the bats started going silent in the last week or so. But the road trip that they had out against the Red Sox and then coming home this weekend. And, you know, at the end of the game last night, you know, Pat Murphy went back to just saying, look, man, you know, there's no Jackson Chourio here right now. He had that fractured hand. And Andrew Vaughn, first baseman, another, you know, long ball hitter. He's been out with a fracture in his hand. So they'll be coming later. In terms of the rotations, like, you know, leverage pitchers like Jared Koenig, a starter like Quinn Priester, Rob Z, they'll get some of these guys back. So they've had a number of injuries. And then at the end of the game, and you saw Christian Yelich exit after an at-bat. He's got a hamstring now. I don't know how bad it is, but he was going in for an MRI after yesterday's loss to the. And it looked like the Brewers were going to come back. Jake Bowers crushed one out to right field, and I thought it was going out. And then it fell about 3 feet short of the wall, you know, at the warning track. So they had the bats. The hits just weren't falling in the right places yesterday.
They just kept losing their leads and blowing ties, and like they only won game where they got smoked. The rest of them there was some decent hitting and there were runs coming in. They just couldn't keep up. And you know, I'm watching a game where they're losing, and then they come up to tie, and then they just start losing again. Or the other night where it was 3-3, and then boom, I look, it's 7-3. Like it's like it feels like a systematic failure right now, where it's not just the bats and the pitching, it's a combination of both. And as you said, with early on injuries, now we're already looking at Christian Yelich with you know, getting an MRI. We're looking at, it just feels very off-putting to start so strong, and now we just boom, like kind of lose it all in the matter of a week.
Yeah, but, you know, at the end of the day, you talk to the starter, Brandon Woodruff, Woody, after the game yesterday. He's like, you know, pump the brakes. You know, the wheels aren't falling off here. And although, yeah, okay, it's not like we've lost five in a row around here. This is pretty normal baseball for April and for the kinds of things that are going on. And, you know, we'll find ways to circle around. Now, they got a good team coming in tomorrow night that was in the World Series, the Blue Jays. So they opened up a series against them Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at home before they have to go back out on the road. But, yeah, you know, it's to me, it's just a sense of, you know, they just weren't getting the breaks that they usually get. Because other than that, that infield is unbelievable in its defense. You know, and Joey Ortiz, he had a chance to be the hero the other night. You know, he grounded out with bases loaded. Could have won the game, you know, and that's why he bats ninth. But between him and what Bryce Terang does at second base, it's incredible how good they are on defense.
Yeah, it sucks to watch them go from first place. Now they are in fourth place, and that's not fun. But Baseball,
but they're
just
only
started.
A game out of first, too, though, right?
No, they're, I mean, it's like right now the standings are really weird because Cincinnati, St. Louis, and Milwaukee have the same record, but because of the percentages, they are in fourth place, technically tied with the Cards. So it's just weird that like they could win one game and be in second place again, but it also just doesn't. I don't like looking in fourth place. Okay, I had enough of that back in the day. Thank you,
Mike. Our guest is Mike Clemens, Civic Media Sports Authority. We've got about a minute and a half left. Can you tell us about this cool event coming up with your Green Bay Packers?
The tailgate tour is out there, and what's a big difference this year is it's not Mark Murphy doing his Shecky Green. Hey, everybody. Hey, welcome, ladies and germs.
There's a reference.
Ed Policy. I knew that Pete would like that. It's Ed Policy now that's the MC because he's the new president of the team. But they're going to have some current players like Edgerrin Cooper is going to be out there, the great linebacker, with some former players out there like Desmond Bishop was a linebacker on the Super Bowl team. And Randall Cobb is going to be touring around. James Jones. And so they're going around. They'll start off in Green Bay tomorrow morning. Then they're coming down to Racine County. I'm going to chase them there at a couple of stops in Mount Pleasant. Then they go across the state. They're going to go to Dyersville to the Field of Dreams and before they make their way back next Saturday to Green Bay.
Oh, that sounds like a blast.
That sounds like
traded
those events are always a good time.
Over the weekend. You saw that?
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, the wide receiver.
Yeah.
But see, they got some draft picks out of it. And Wicks has been a good receiver. I think he's kind of hit his ceiling. And the Eagles are trying to stock up at wide receiver. And so Gutekunst, with those picks he had to give away to get Micah Parsons, that huge deal with the Cowboys, he's got a fifth-round pick coming up in a couple of weeks and a sixth-round pick next year. And Wicks got signed for $12.5 million in a one-year extension with Philly. He was never going to get that money in Green Bay.
Whoa.
So I think it worked out for both teams, really.
Holy cow.
That's kind of a genius move, actually.
Yeah.
Mike, I can't believe we got through. When I got your text this morning, Mike, there's no way we're going to cover all this, but we did. Solid stuff, man. Thank you so much,
professional.
Pal.
You bet, boys. Have a good I appreciate the show, and I'll have reports for you from the tailgate tour on the road this week.
Thanks, Mike.
Outstanding. Thanks, buddy. All right, Mike Clemens, folks, follow him on Twitter at Mike Clemens NFL, and he does such a great job. You can hear him also at the top and the bottom of the hour. Greg, is he on both? Yeah, sports.
Yeah,
it's all about the sports.
Yes, you can hear sports
stuff.
With our news weather every at the top and bottom of every hour from 6 a.m. to 5:30 p.m.
In a related story, not so much, it's National Scrabble Day, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, boy.
Share with us what your favorite board game is. That's our Nightlight question of the night. I'm Pete Schwabe. He's Greg Bach. We are coming back after the news to read your texts. We'll be right back.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.